You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com, and this is the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Wednesday, April 25th, 2018, just one day before the start of the NFL draft, a day that will likely be significant in Jets history as the Jets will draft a quarterback. They'll draft their new quarterback of the future, unless we see something that would be the upset of the century as far as this franchise is concerned. And on today's show, we're going to talk about the different paths the draft could take before we get to the third overall pick. And in particular, our discussion will be about the two teams picking in front of the Jets. And for both of these franchises, the Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants, I see three potential paths they could take. And each path would impact who is available to the Jets with the third overall pick. So this will be a little two-segment show today. We'll talk about the Cleveland Browns, what they may be thinking. We talk about the New York Giants, what they may be thinking. And again, I see three plausible paths for each franchise. Now, the NFL draft, if you've learned anything about it through the years, if you've followed this league for any stretch of time, you know that the draft is unpredictable. And I will readily admit that there are more than three scenarios, but these are the three scenarios for both the Browns and the Giants I view as the most likely scenarios. And, of course, what happens with the first two picks will set the stage for the Jets, and what the Browns and Giants do with their picks could have a big impact. And not could, it will have a big impact, because the two players that come off the board first will set the Jets up for the next, you know, they hope decade, because the Jets are hoping that this is a decade plus proposition, the guy that they pick. So we'll start with the Browns, and I don't think there's much doubt that the Browns are drafting a quarterback. I think both these teams, and we'll get to the Giants a little later, I think both the teams in front of the Jets would be crazy to not draft a quarterback. Now, with the Browns, I just don't see any way they don't draft the quarterback. I think it just seems like such an obvious thing to me. The Browns are essentially starting over. They were 0-16 last year, only the second team in NFL history to go 0-16. So when you're starting from square one, what do you get? What's the first thing you get? It's the quarterback. And I understand the Browns have the fourth overall pick, so they could get a quarterback. But they'll definitely end up with the second quarterback chosen in this draft, and it could be the third quarterback chosen in this draft. Their pick at number one overall is their chance to make sure that they land their best quarterback in this draft. There are no guarantees if they wait till four. The quarterback they want could be drafted by the Jets, or it could be drafted at number two. So, I mean, I've heard some people speculate. I've heard some people say that they should draft Saquon Barkley, who a lot of people say is the best player in this draft. You may agree, you may disagree, but I don't see any way the Browns pass a quarterback at one. And I think the other thing that comes into play here is not just that they're starting from square one, it's not just that they were 0-16 last year, it's that this franchise has passed on, in the last 2 years, they haven't just passed on Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson, they've traded the pick that other teams used to draft those two guys. So I think with that kind of history, I think with the new general manager, John Dorsey, in the mix, I don't think there's any doubt that they're going to draft a quarterback. And that's what typically happens when a team sends out an unsuccessful front office. The new front office usually comes in and does the opposite. The old front office seemed hesitant to draft a quarterback. The new front office, I think, is drafting a guy one overall. It's a franchise setter. And again, another thing is that when you have a new general manager first year, that guy usually wants to put his stamp on the franchise. So I think the Browns are, there's no way you can put a stamp on the franchise more than drafting a quarterback number one overall. So for all these reasons, I think it actually might be more shocking to me if the Browns pass on a quarterback one overall than if the Jets do. It'd be the same level. You could argue one way or another, but I'd be floored if the Browns don't take a quarterback number one overall. So I think the three options the Browns have in front of them are quarterbacks. They're the three quarterbacks. And the first option I see seems to be the consensus choice. It's the guy who has most frequently I've seen mocked to the Browns, and that is Sam Darnold, of course, the quarterback out of USC, who was a star as a freshman. He stepped into the starting lineup. He was not the original starter that year. He came in a few weeks into the season and eventually led USC to the Rose Bowl. He led an epic win against Penn State, and then his second year, strangely, a lot of people view it as a disappointment, but USC won the Pac-12 title. They went to a major bowl game. I mean, and that team had some problems on the offensive side of the ball personnel-wise. Darnold maybe wasn't a stellar statistical player, at least as stellar as maybe Baker Mayfield, but he had an excellent year. He has a lot of upside, a lot of mobility. He's shown an ability to read complex defensive fronts. He's shown an ability to function under pressure. So, you know, a guy who, there's no such thing as a 100% sure bet, but he has a lot of the traits I think teams look for, a lot of the traits successful NFL prospects have. And it, as I said, it seems, just seems to me, this is my perception, it seems to me that most people have been expecting Darnold to be the pick for the Cleveland Browns at number one overall. So I think that's the maybe the consensus option. Option two would be the old school scout option, and that's Josh Allen, the quarterback out of Wyoming, who is tall, he has the rocket arm, he's very athletic. Those are the traits old school scouts tend to look for. And that's one of the things that just seems to me in the scouting community is scouts look for what players can do. And they tend to, in many instances, they kind of gloss over the flaws players have. They look for the player's upside, it seems to me. And that's, again, that's my perception just having studied the way NFL teams operate. I think what happens in many cases, and this is not just true in the draft, although it is true in the draft, teams get a little overconfident in their ability to fix flaws in players, even major flaws. And I think you maybe saw that a little bit in Christian Hackenberg, where the Jets saw what he did his freshman year at Penn State under Bill O'Brien in an NFL-style offense, and maybe were a little dismissive of the problems in Hackenberg's game. And there were a lot of problems. There were a lot of big problems, I don't need to tell you. And that's what happened. That's not just the Jets. I mean, it happens all over the league where a coaching staff just thinks they can fix a guy very easily. And Allen has a lot of upside. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, you look at his physical tool. Just look at some of his highlights. And I know every player looks great in their highlight video because, by definition, a highlight video is a compilation of plays where the player looks good. But, I mean, some of the plays Allen makes are out of this world. So this would be the upside pick. There's lots of speculation that John Dorsey, you know, being an old school scout, will love a guy like Allen. We'll see. I don't know. Again, we'll have to wait and see on that one. So I think that would be the second choice. And I don't know why, you know, there was a lot of buzz about the Jets loving Allen during the year, and that's all gone away. I'll tell you, that has all gone away during draft season. You don't really hear much about the Jets and Allen. Yes, they've worked him out. They went to his pro day. They had his private workout. But there does not seem to be a whole lot of buzz around the Jets and Allen right now. So that might be the best case scenario. Yeah, that's one of the better case scenarios for the Jets, I think, at least as far as what I'm thinking their perspective is, because I'm not sure how interested they are in Allen. And that means somebody that, if they don't want Allen, and I'm speculating there, but if they don't want Allen, then Allen going number one means another player that they may want will fall down the draft board. Option three would be one that we heard Dave T. Thomas talk about the other day, if you heard our podcast on Monday. And Scott McGlowan, the former general manager of Washington, and he spent time in Seattle, he spent time in San Francisco, he spent time in a number of different organizations. He's taken on a role in Cleveland, working under Dorsey. Two of them have ties to the Packers. The two of them used to work for the Packers. And one of the worst kept secrets, it seems, in the NFL is that McGlowan loves Baker Mayfield, the Heisman Trophy winner out of Oklahoma. So would Mayfield be the guy the Browns pick? And Mayfield probably has the most buzz out of any prospect when it comes to the Jets. It seems like everybody's linking the Jets with Mayfield. So that might not be a scenario the Jets love. And I know it's not a scenario a lot of the fan base would love, because as I told Connor Rogers yesterday, I have not seen the Jets fan base collectively want a player this badly probably since Mark Sanchez. It's just everybody loves Baker Mayfield, it seems, in this fan base. So I know this would disappoint the fan base quite a bit. Mayfield, you know, he definitely comes with some swagger. He comes with some hype. In that sense, you know, if you're looking to start your franchise over, if you're looking to take a franchise changer, maybe that makes him your guy. So I think those are your three choices for Cleveland. I think those are the three most likely choices. I'm not sure Rosen's on the table for Cleveland. I'm not sure anybody else is on the table. I could always be wrong. Look, the draft's an unpredictable sort of thing. But I think those are the three possible doors you could go through for the Cleveland Browns. Now we move to the New York Giants at number two. And for me, it's less players that they could choose, and more what their philosophy is heading into this draft. One of which I think would be good for the Jets, two of which would not be. Now, the first option for the Giants, and again, these are not player-specific, is drafting a quarterback. And I've said many times on the show, I've said many times off the show, I've said it written on gangrenenation.com, I've told people I know in private who have nothing to do with my websites or podcasts, told people who don't even know I have a podcast. Everybody who knows me should know this. I think the New York Giants are out of their minds if they don't draft a quarterback at number two. Eli Manning's age, he doesn't have that much longer in this league. When are you going to be in a position like this where you're drafting second overall, have your pick of the litter at the quarterback position? I think they got to do it. I don't see why they wouldn't. And there is a lot of buzz that they won't. Again, maybe the Giants are throwing some smoke screens up. I don't know. I don't want them to draft a quarterback at two, because that means one more quarterback's falling to the Jets at three if they don't. But it seems like a possibility that they don't. I wonder how much of it is just the Giants got spooked by the reaction this year when they benched Eli Manning. But as I've said this before, it's one thing to bench him in the middle of the year and kind of scapegoat him for your team's problems. It's another thing to move on, to decide we're moving on. We have a chance to draft a young quarterback, a young quarterback of the future, a young franchise quarterback. So we're going to move on. That's a little different than benching him in the middle of the year and kind of scapegoating him for a team-wide meltdown. So, I mean, I don't, if that's what the Giants are thinking, and maybe it's not, maybe it is, I think they're making a mistake. But I don't think you can rule out them drafting a quarterback because it makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, you've got the quarterback at that age. Look at the team. Just look at recent NFL history. Look at the teams that prepared for their old quarterback leaving. Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers. Great example. Look at the teams that didn't prepare. I mean, heck, you can go all the way back. The Miami Dolphins did not prepare for Dan Marino's departure. You could go back. That's before the turn of the century. That's close to 20 years ago. They still haven't found a guy. I could go on and on with more examples, but you got to prepare for your veteran quarterback leaving, especially when he's in his late 30s, because Eli Manning is on borrowed time right now. So option one for the Giants would be drafting a quarterback. Option two, and this would be I think that this would be the most foolish thing the Giants could do. So, of course, that's what I'm hoping they do, is drafting somebody who's non-quarterback. And I just can't fathom this, how this team could think that they're a contender with Eli Manning. Essentially what this would be doing, it would be trying to load the roster up for one last run with Eli and thinking you can add an elite top-level performer to surround them with. Again, maybe it's Saquon Barkley. Maybe do they reach for an offensive lineman? I mean, they did that a couple of years ago, different GM, but they did it a couple of years ago for Ereck Flowers, reaching for an offensive lineman. Do they go defense, try and build the defense up so Eli has to do less? I don't like this move for the Giants, so I'm hoping they do it, because if they draft somebody from another position, that means somebody's falling for the Jets, and that somebody falling to the Jets is going to be a quarterback, one more quarterback option for the Jets. And in many ways, the Giants' decision here controls the keys to the draft for the Jets. Now, the third option for the Giants, and I think this would be a more sensible option, if you're going to make the mistake of not drafting a quarterback, I think it's much more sensible for the Giants to trade down, because then you at least add the quantity. You know, you add extra players to your team. You can stockpile picks and at least add a bunch of players to help support Eli Manning. Now, that also means, however, that some teams trading up, and I got news for you, if some teams trading up ahead of the Jets, it's tough to think of a scenario where it's not for a quarterback. So that would, in effect, have the same impact on the Jets as the Giants drafting a quarterback. Now, maybe not so much in the back pages, maybe not so much in your office when you're talking with Giants fans, but in a practical sense, it's going to mean one less quarterback's on the market there for the Jets at number three overall. So that, I think that would be a bad case for the Jets. It would mean somebody has jumped them, and you know, it would definitely hurt the trade up to the perception of the trade up to three for a little bit, because it would mean that the Jets traded up to three and some team outdueled them, some team beat them to the punch for the second overall pick. From the Giants' perspective, you're going to build around Eli, though. At least you add a few more picks, which I still think is a mistake, but I think it makes more sense than sticking a two overall and taking a non-quarterback, because as we've seen time and again in the NFL, when a team wants to trade up into the top three, top two for a quarterback, they're willing to give up an awful lot. The price is awfully high. So that would be, but again, that would be a bad case for the Jets. I'm not sure whether the Giants are interested in doing this. Again, you know, you can guess all you want, but we don't really know what these teams are thinking. We don't know whether they're putting out bad information. So that's kind of sets the stage. That shows us where we're at. Shows us what the options, what I think the most likely options are in front of the Jets. That'll do it for our show today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, two best options. And if you enjoy the show, leave it a good review in iTunes. We certainly appreciate it. Hope you have a great Wednesday. The next time we talk, it will be draft day.